The following resource is from desiringgod.org.
Over the years, the name that I have given to my understanding of this massive role that joy plays in not only the Christian life, but all of creation and God's purposes in it, is the name Christian hedonism. And the shortest description of Christian hedonism is God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. My pathway into this understanding over the last 30 years or so is mainly affected by Jonathan Edwards and C.S. Lewis and the Apostle Paul, but it does reach back to my father. My father was probably the happiest man I've ever known, and yet he was filled and consumed with the glory of God. And so there was this both and in my father's life that had to have a resolution or explanation someday, that abundant joy and total commitment to the glory of God had to go together in some way. And then after my dad came C.S. Lewis with his amazing statement that our problem as human beings is not that our desires are too strong, but that our desires are too weak, which blew me away when I first read it. I thought my desires were the problem. And he was saying, no, your desires aren't the problem. The weakness of your desires are the problem. You are like a child fooling about in the slums with your mud pies because you can't imagine what a holiday at the sea is like. In other words, your desires for the great things that God is offering you are way too small. Your problem is not big desires. Your problem is small desires for big things. And then there was Jonathan Edwards. Now, Edwards was the biggest of all because he came along and said, God Almighty in His Trinitarian form is God the Father having an idea of Himself, which stands forth in the Son of God, and having delight in Himself, which stands forth in the Holy Spirit, surging back and forth as a person between the Father and the Son. And then when He creates human beings, they are in His image so that we glorify God both by having a right idea of Him, true doctrine, and by having appropriate, passionate emotions toward Him. That was just massive for me to see that I have these two great surging faculties in me, a thinking faculty that glorifies God by thinking rightly about Him, and an emotional faculty that glorifies God by feeling rightly about Him. And under all of that was the Bible, which all over the Bible says, glorify God, and all over the Bible it says, delight in God. And so how do they come together? And so I go to the Westminster Catechism, and I look at the first question, what is man's chief end? Answer, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And I ponder, is it just and? What does and mean? Isn't it the chief end of man is to glorify God by enjoying Him forever? That's what Edwards said. That's what Lewis implied. That seemed to be what was surging in my father's life. But is it biblical? Is that true? And that, now that brings us to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21 was the key text that in its logic settled this for me. That God is most glorified, Christ is most magnified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. Here's the way it goes. Paul says, my eager expectation, my firm, solid expectation is that Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. for, and that little word for became all important, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So Paul is, with that little word for, grounding the certainty of the expectation that Christ will be magnified in his body when he lives and when he dies. Why? What's the ground? What's the basis of that expectation that Christ will be magnified in my body when I die? Because for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And I stopped and thought, how does that work? How does that logic work? And it came clear when I just dropped out the life pair and stayed with the death pair. So let's say it like that. It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed, but that Christ will be magnified in my body through my death, for to me to die is gain. Does that make sense? The confidence that I have that when I die, Christ will be magnified is based on the fact that for me to die is gain. If Christ is gain in my dying, Christ will look magnificent in my dying. And there's a missing piece. There's a missing piece to the argument. What is that? That's verse 23, right? Paul says, I want to go and be with Christ, for that is far better. So the gain that he's talking about in verse 21 is Christ. If I go to be with Christ, if I die and go to be with Christ, that is far better. That's my gain. So now let's go back and see if the logic makes sense. My eager expectation is that Christ will be magnified in my death because I'm going to experience death as gain, as more satisfying than anything this life could offer, and that is Jesus Christ. And that's just that close to my little rhyming pair. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. So let's see if we can put it together. I am confident, or I have this strong, eager expectation that Christ will be magnified in my dying, and the basis of that expectation that Christ will be shown to be magnificent in my dying is that I am going to experience my dying as gain, namely as Christ being more satisfying to me than everything that life has to offer. So I'm going to argue, I'm going to stake my little rhyming pair on the logic of the relationship between Philippians 1:20 and 1:21. I have told the story about my wife. I'm not going to tell it again here. My wife and the roses and the anniversary. I'm just going to sum it up because every one of you knows from the gut of your soul that this is true. You know this is the way it works. So here I am. It's my anniversary. I say to Noelle, I am going to take you out tonight because it's our anniversary, 47th anniversary, because spending the night with you makes me glad. Now, no wife has ever said, nor would Noelle ever say, you are so selfish to talk like that. All you think about is yourself. Nothing would make me happy like taking you out and spending the evening with you. No wife ever complains that's selfish. Why? Because if I pursue my full satisfaction in her, she's honored. Everyone knows this. Women feel it, men know it. And so it is with God. If we are drawn to God because we want to spend time with God, we delight to spend time with God, God is our treasure and our satisfaction. God is honored. God is highly magnified. And so this truth that God is most glorified in us, or Christ is most magnified in us when we are most satisfied in Him, is not peripheral. This is not peripheral to the Christian life or peripheral to the book of Philippians. This is right at the heart of what it means to be a believer, what it means to belong to Jesus Christ, what it means to treasure and trust Jesus Christ. This is not icing on the cake of Christianity. This is at the heart of Christianity.
Thank you for listening to this resource from desiringgod.org. If you found it helpful, we encourage you to enjoy and share from thousands of resources on our site, including books, sermons, articles, and more, available free of charge. Desiringgod.org exists to help you treasure Jesus more than anything else, because God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him.